You know, we're just coming off of Thanksgiving. We've been thankful for, you know, time with our family and good food and football and all those kind of things. But it's one of those things, we need to live our lives like that throughout the year and be thankful for everything that we have. You know, our family, our jobs, our community, the country that we live in, the God that we serve. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning, that the God that we serve, and be thankful for Him and what He's done for us. There's a song that, you know, with my new job, I have a little extra time in the morning, and Katie's gone, and the kids are gone to school, and, you know, I can kind of take my time and get ready and don't feel rushed. So I have some songs I like to listen to, and I listen to them about every morning, and one of them is by Kane, if you've ever heard of that band, but it's I'm So Blessed. And there's a line in there that says, on my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed because of that, because He is my Father, my Heavenly Father, and He's done so much for me. And I need to be thankful for that every day and realize how blessed I truly am. So we're going to go to probably a set of scriptures that I'm sure all of you have heard over and over again. We're going to turn to 1 Chronicles. So if you don't know where that's at, that's kind of way towards the front of the Bible. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up. Some of you, when you open these pages up, they might creak a little bit because they haven't been seeing the light of day for a while. But Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, they're a history book. You know, they tell the history of Israel from the beginning of it to the end, until they go into exile. So why would you think there would be, you know, things in here that there's a psalm in here that David wrote, and you wouldn't realize it unless you've gone through those scriptures before. But 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 7, is where we'll start. But there again, just that idea that they're thankful for the God that they serve. To kind of give us some lead up to this, they had just brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It had been away for so long. That they, you know, and there then, kind of that resemblance of God had been away from His people. He wasn't with His people in Jerusalem. They had taken the Ark somewhere else. And David said, no, it's time. You know, I'm going to build myself a house. I'm going to build a tent to put the Ark of the Covenant in and start that worship and start those sacrifices again. And here he gives praises for that, for what they're doing. Chapter 16, verse 7. On that day, David decreed for the first time the thanks be given to the Lord by Asaph and his relatives. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, proclaim His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell about all His wonderful works. Honor His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonderful works He has done, His wonders and the judgments He has pronounced. You offspring of Israel, His servant, Jacob's descendants, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments govern the whole earth. Remember His covenant forever, the promise He ordained for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, swore to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a decree, and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. I will give the land of Canaan to you as your inherited portion. When they were few in number, very few indeed, and temporary residents in Canaan, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to the other, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their behalf. Do not touch My anointed ones or harm My prophets. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonderful works among all peoples. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him on all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. Let the heaven be glad and the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord is King. Let the sea and everything in it resound. Let the fields and all that is in them exult. Then the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. And say, save us, God, our salvation. Gather us and rescue us from the nations, so that we may give thanks to your holy name and rejoice in your praise. May the Lord, the God of Israel, be praised from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for the opportunity to gather, Lord, as a family, to worship you, to just praise you this morning. And Lord, as we've gone through this week of Thanksgiving and we've had that day that we're so thankful for everything we have, but Lord, help us realize that every day needs to be a day of Thanksgiving. Lord, that you've given us the breath to breathe, the ability to do things, Lord, because you loved us. And ultimately, you gave us your Son to die on that cross. And as we prepare to celebrate his birth and what a wonderful birth it was, we thank you that he didn't stay that baby, that he walked this earth, that he was a man, that he felt that pain, and he came out of that grave. And Lord, that we have that opportunity for eternal salvation because of that. And Lord, we just praise you for that and thank you for who you are. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hopefully my voice will hold out this morning, but we'll find out. So we start out, and you can kind of break this scripture up into the three different sections. There's kind of the first section, we have these commands. In our each section, we have these commands, and then we have why should we do these commands. So really, in verse 8, kind of through verse 22 is that first set of sections. You'll give thanks to the Lord. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Honor His holy name. Search for the Lord. Seek His face. Remember the wonderful works, His wonders and His judgments He has pronounced. He is the Lord, our God. So there again, these commands that we need to give thanks to God for everything. There's no one else that we can give thanks to. Yes, we say thank you to somebody that gives us a gift, or we say thank you for our spouse for helping us or loving us, but ultimately it's because of God. He is the one that we should be giving thanks to. Proclaim His deeds among the people. And we talk about that the week after week, that we should share the gospel, but that's really what this is, proclaiming the deeds. He saved us. He saved us from a life that we had no idea of the path that we were going down until someone opened our eyes because of God. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Honor His holy name. When we go and leave this place, you know, we sing here and we honor God here. But what do we do when we walk out these doors? What do we do on Monday morning when we go to our workplace? You know, yes, I love to sing in the shower, and I'm the best singer that you've ever heard when I'm in the shower. Or in my truck by myself. You know, Kyle, you talked about singing in your truck this morning. I'm sure you're the best singer there ever was, and probably somebody should sign you. But it's singing praises to God, realizing how great He is in my life. And realizing how much I need Him in my life and how little I am without Him in my life. And then am I honoring Him? Realizing how great He is and how small I am. Am I honoring Him in front of people that don't know Him? Am I living a life that shows His love to others, that honors Him through everything that I do? Am I searching for Him, like it says in verse 11? Am I seeking His face? Am I just doing what I want to do Monday through Friday? Remember the wonderful works He has done. You know, it's almost that, there again, that history book here where we're remembering all these things that God has done for us. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He brought them into the land of Canaan. He was with them when they conquered that. Even when they went into exile, He was there with them. What is our story? What is our testimony of the things that He has done for us in our lives? Are we sharing that with those that are around us? The many wonders that we've seen because of God, because of who He is, because He has that plan. Even here, and the judgments He has pronounced. We probably can even say there's probably been times God has judged us for our choices. Maybe our decisions are the wrong paths that we've taken. He's judged us. But it was because he loved us, to bring us back to where he was at. Just like his people. He did them, he judged them. They went into exile because of judgment. But it was to prove to them that he was the only one. There was nothing greater than him out there. There was nothing that they might think they needed that was better than who he was. He is the Lord our God. His judgments govern the whole earth. Remember his covenant forever. The promise he ordained for 1,000 generations. And really a generation, in my study, 40 years is a generation. But a generation never ends. Forever, eternity is what this covenant that God has made with his people. He made that covenant with his people that he would bring them out of Egypt, that he would bring them into that promised land, that he would make them a great nation. We have a covenant this morning too. Christ died on the cross for us. We're going to take the Lord's Supper this morning, and how fitting that is that we're remembering that new covenant that he ushered in. That blood that was spilled, that flesh that was broke for our sins. And we do this not just to gather and that we say that we did the Lord's Supper, but we do this in remembrance of him. And to carry that on, to remember that covenant. God is faithful. God brought us a Savior. God brought us the Messiah. He did what he said he was going to do. He died on that cross so that we could have eternal life. We remember that covenant on a daily basis, that I'm a saved individual, that I've screwed up big time and I continue to screw up in my life, but because of Christ, I'm saved. I will stand before God one of these days and face judgment, but he will see God, Jesus' blood on me. I'll be saved. Remember his covenants. Remember those promises he ordained. The covenant he made with Abraham, swore to Isaac, confirmed to Jacob. He never let any of that down. And he's not going to let us down. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful that we have that promise from a true God that never lies? When there are few in numbers, indeed, in temporary residence of Canaan, wandering from nation to nation, he still protected them. Verse 24, declare his glory among the nations. The next set of commands here, declare this glory among the nations, his wonderful works among all people. Go and tell your neighbors, Calhoun County, Missouri, America, around the world. Maybe you feel that draw to go and do that. Follow that. Talk to Pastor Nick. Talk to Pastor Scott. Talk to one of pastors. Talk to your family group leader. Talk to somebody if you have that desire to go and tell. But all of us should have that desire to go and tell. We have an opportunity to go and help our sister church in Columbia this afternoon with Sunday school. The simple thing of teaching Sunday school in English so their kids can hear that gospel and learn more about God. Go and tell. We have that the command right here. Declare his glory, how great he is, what he's done for each and every one of us. For the Lord is great and highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods, the little g, gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Israelites were distracted. Even as we talk about 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we can talk about 1st and 2nd Samuel. They wanted a king because they wanted to be like the nations around them. They thought they needed this great king and when they already had a great king. But they wanted just an idol so they could worship. How often are we drawn away today to those idols? Work, leisure, our own time, our own ideas. Those idols that we want to follow, but we need to have that fear for God. Because he made the heavens. He's made everything. He made us. Have that fear of God. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Because he is so great. Ascribe to the Lord families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come before him. And we talked about that this morning in our family group. That question of how can I praise God? What are things that I can do to praise God? I can come here and sing songs. I can come and give my time to serve the church. I can go and help at the soup kitchen. What talents do I have that I can help others with? There's so many things that we can do with our time and our talents that God has given us. But so many times we don't because, well, I'm too busy. I don't want to go to that place and do that. Or I don't feel comfortable going and talking to those people. But God has given us that ability. God has given us so much that we need to go and do that if we have that ability. Whether it's working with our hands, whether it's singing, whether it's, you know, teaching, whether it's just cleaning up leaves for the neighbor. We have the ability to do these things and share the gospel with those around us. And how often we don't take those opportunities that we have. The world is firmly established. It cannot be shaken. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. And let him say among the nations, the Lord is King. One of these days, every mouth will pronounce that. The Lord is King. Are we doing that on a daily basis as believers? We say that we believe that. We say that he is our only Lord and Master. But are we sharing that for those that don't hear it from anywhere else? Are we willing to go and share? Because if we don't, the heavens and the earth will. Let the sea and everything in it resound. Let the field and all that in it exalt. Then the trees of the forest will shout for joy before the Lord. He is coming to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And all the way down to verse 35. Give thanks to his... And he says, save us... No, sorry. 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. It never ends. He loves us no matter what. In our best days, we're a child of God. In our worst days, we're a child of God, and we should be thankful that we are, that he doesn't change our minds. And we're human, we're fickle. Some days, I'm happy to be Tammy's friend. Then other days, when she's singing Christmas songs, I kind of roll my eyes. Still happy to be your friend. That's right, Jesus does love you. Forever, Tammy. That's right. And the rest of us. But his love endures forever. And we should agree with this, just like the Israelites did. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Amen. We agree. God is everything that we have. God is everything that we do and say and act and love. God is the one that empowers all of us. And if we were to read on into 17, we see that first prophecy of Christ. David realizes, you know, as he kind of comes down off this praise and this time of worship, I'm living in this nice house. And the house of the Lord is just a tent. Not right. And David calls Nathan in and says, I need to do something about this. I need to build the house for God. But God comes back to Nathan and tells him to tell David, he's not going to be the one. He'll have a descendant, a son that will build it, but mostly, and more importantly, he will establish his kingdom through one of David's descendants. A kingdom that will never die, will never end, forever and ever. That's Christ. And Christ came just like God said he would. And he set up his kingdom. And he died for his people. There again, that question in the book this morning, you know, what makes God, or what makes Jesus such a great king? He died for his people. How many kings do you know that would willingly step down and say, take my life so my people can be spared? I don't know of any. I know of a lot that would say, well, here, take this guy over here as a substitute so that my people can be spared and I can still rule them. No, Jesus said, take me. I can pay for their sins. I can pay that debt that they have. But also, he didn't stay in that grave. He's still alive today. He still wants that relationship with us today. So if you're a believer this morning, are you truly thankful for who he is? Are you thankful that he is in your life, that he sent his son to die on the cross for each and every one of us? And do you live that out on a daily basis? That's hard to do, I understand. If you go home and you watch the news this afternoon or watch it in the morning, the world's falling apart. Jesus is coming quicker than we may want to admit and realize that Jesus is coming. And we have that assurance that when he does come, that he will establish his kingdom forever. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you question whether you know Christ fully, you have no hope. Your hope is hell. There's no salvation for you. Because when Christ comes, it's over. Now, if you feel that tugging in your heart that you need to change something, I encourage you to come and pray about it. Ask those questions. Ask Christ to come into your life. Have that hope that you have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. That's the only hope that we can hold on to, that we will spend eternity with Christ, because we have faith in him and what he did for us, because he loved us so much. I'll pray, and Nick, are you taking over for Lord's Supper? And he'll give instructions on how we're going to do that. And we'll have that time of invitation during our Lord's Supper. But don't wait. If you're a non-believer, don't wait. There'll be guys up here that will pray with you, that will talk things over with you. Take this opportunity to do that. We invite you. That's why it's an invitation. We invite you to come and accept Christ. But also, if you're a believer this morning, be grateful that we get to come and remember that covenant, that promise that he gave each and every one of us. That we'll be with him forever. That he died on that cross. His blood was spilled to pay our debt, to pay for our screw up. Let me pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. We just thank you for loving us. God, there's nothing that we've ever done. We can't say that we're worthy enough for what you've given us. But Lord, we can say thank you. And Lord, I want to live a life where I wake up every day and say thank you. And I want to live that life that shows that I'm grateful to you. Lord, some days that's hard. Some days I lose sight of you. And Lord, I just pray that as a body of believers, that we can live that life of joy because we know what you've done for us. As we take the Lord's Supper this morning, we have that assurance in that covenant that Christ came and died for us, pay our debt. And he did that because you asked him to. He stepped down off that throne, came to earth to do that. But Lord, I also pray for those here today that they may be questioning, maybe feel that tug on their heart, maybe have been told over and over again they need Christ in their life, but they just haven't made that step. And Lord, they look at life with no hope. They don't have anything to be thankful for because they don't realize the great gift that's in front of them. They just need to reach out and accept. Lord, if they're here today, just pray that they would accept it this morning. They would come and start that journey. Lord, yes, they'll pray a prayer, but Lord, it's just the beginning of that life, living with you. I will live with you forever. Lord, and as we leave this place today, that we're thankful that we had the opportunity to come and sing Christmas songs and sing to you, Lord. It was singing to you and what you've done, no matter what the songs are. It's all about you. Lord, we just thank you for loving us that much. Lord, I just pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.